From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. Theda Bara, Claudette Colbert, and Elizabeth Taylor have portrayed her. Plutarch extolled her intelligence. Boccaccio derided her sexuality. Shakespeare restored her reputation, and still, not a whole lot is known about the real Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt. The British Museum has assembled the first extensive exhibition about the monarch. It's now at the Field Museum in Chicago, its only stop in the U.S. Karen Michelle reports.
It's hard to imagine a juicier subject.
The year is 51 BCE. In the city of Alexandria, a young queen ascends the throne. Her name is Cleopatra. Sibling rivalry drives Cleopatra into exile. When the great Roman general Julius Caesar enters Alexandria, he reunites the queen and her throne.
Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile, floating down the river in a golden barge with purple sails, dressed as a goddess. Known for her powers of persuasion, her smarts, her ways with more than a word, and with words too, a woman whose ways and wiles are the stuff of legend and reality, and now the focus of the exhibition, Cleopatra from History to Myth. The British Museum's Susan Walker conceived and curated the show.
She has the magic ingredients of total power and sexual allure, and there really is nothing more interesting than world politics combined with sex. I believe it's a winning recipe. And she really came very close to success. She very nearly made it, and I think that in itself is very fascinating.
Walker planned for each venue to personalize the exhibition. At the Field Museum, home of dinosaur skeletons and footgear of the world, curators asked visitors what they'd like to see in a show about Cleopatra. David Foster was the Field Museum's project administrator.
Almost to a person, people expected to see mummies, her barge, and her jewelry. Well, her mummy has never been found, and we don't even know if she preserved the barge on which she and Caesar cruised up the Nile. And her jewelry does not exist.
What visitors do see is a collection of coins minted with her likeness, a number of statues reputedly of the queen and her mates, Caesar and Antony, and even a piece of papyrus with her authenticated handwriting on it. One of the most striking sculptures came from the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. Looked at from the side, it appears that Cleopatra is walking out of the stone in her form-fitting transparent gown. She holds a double cornucopia in her left hand and an ankh in her right. On the front of her plated breast-length headdress, there are three cobra heads, the triple uraeus, the telltale sign that this is indeed the Cleopatra. After the archaeological finds, the visitor to the Field Museum ends up back in myth, in a room with movies and costumes. There's Claudette Colbert as Cleopatra, Vivian Leigh, and of course, Elizabeth Taylor and her Julius Caesar, Rex Harrison.
First of all, I am Caesar.
And I am Cleopatra, queen, daughter of Isis.
If I say so, and when I say so, you are what I say you are, nothing more.
Hail Caesar.
You, the descendant of generations of inbred, incestuous mental defectives, how dare you call anyone barbarian?
Barbarian?
Daughter of an idiotic flute-playing drunkard who bribed his way to the throne of Egypt.
That's mostly true. Cleopatra was married to her younger brother in the tradition of Egyptian royalty. Though her family was Macedonian Greek, Cleopatra embodied the qualities and, in an unusual gesture, spoke the language of her subjects. She was 18 when she ascended the throne and 39 when she died. During that two-decade reign, she prevented Rome from conquering Egypt through extraordinary political and personal savvy.
She had broken the glass ceiling before there was a glass ceiling.
Field Museum Project Administrator David Foster.
She was a young ruler of the oldest, richest, most populous country in the ancient world, Egypt. was a diligent administrator in essentially a man's world, was able to control that huge temple bureaucracy that had sustained Egypt for 3,000 years, had great foresight in reforming her own currency, which was very progressive in the day. So I guess you could call her a feminist.
Call her what you like. The Alexandrians adored her, the Romans ended up reviling her, and no one really knows what she looked like. Some historians have extolled her beauty. Others debated the qualities of her nose. The statues, reliefs, and coins in the exhibition do nothing to resolve the controversy. In some likenesses, she is quite lovely by many standards. In others, she has a beaky nose and rolls of flesh on her deeply creased neck. Then, there's little certainty that we're actually looking at the Cleopatra. She's the seventh in her lineage. Most images of her were destroyed by the Romans after they eventually defeated her. Again, David Foster.
This name is loaded with misconceptions. So the purpose was to peel away the layers of myth that this name, this legendary name, evokes, go back and recover the historical truth.
Though curator Susan Walker remains fascinated by the myth as well.
Greetings to Caesar from Egypt.
Very amusing joke. Very good. But I'm too busy.
One of my favorite exhibits in the Field Museum's version of the exhibition is the very splendid dress worn by Claudette Colbert in the 1934 Cecil B. DeMille film. That is a dress to die for.
What there is of it. A lustrous black bandeau top and flimsy matching skirt. Susan Walker finds that garment and another worn by Elizabeth Taylor in 1963 telling.
People know that she's the Queen of Egypt, but they still see her as a grand seductress. And I obviously, Elizabeth Taylor's depiction of her has dominated recent perceptions of Cleopatra, at least among adults. But we do have to bear in mind that another generation is coming along. My teenage son, who knows very well who Cleopatra was, asked me, "Mum, who's Elizabeth Taylor?"
Elusive as always. The Cleopatra exhibition is at the Field Museum in Chicago until March 3rd. For NPR News, I'm Karen Michel in Chicago.